Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Soda Pop Podcast. I am your host, Kaya Williams, and I am here with some special guests, one that you've heard before and one that you've seen before. Can we get a hey?
Hey,
hey. Hey, what's poppin', everyone? It's KP. Remember, I was here.
So we have two guests. We have Jared. We have KP. Jared's been on here multiple times, and KP used to be a host. But before we talk about them and like where they've been and what they've been up to, we have to do our fresh squeeze.
Yay.
We're back with the brand Old Time. They have another lemonade I haven't had before. And this is watermelon lemonade. Let's give some good ASMR for the people.
Oh, I thought it was going to make like a... But that wouldn't make sense because there's no caffeine.
I don't know what the smell is.
It's really citrusy.
It's giving candle wax.
Yeah?
Yeah. This, okay.
It's giving candle wax.
Yeah. Tastes like...
I feel like I'm drinking a Bath and Body Works candle.
Yeah.
Because that's how the aftertaste feels in my mouth.
Right. Yeah.
And that's unusual for this brand because it typically is like
something. I wouldn't say it's bad. It's like...
I don't enjoy it.
I'm getting like generic watermelon gummy. But like...
Yes.
Yes.
Like it's not like actual watermelon.
Kind of. Yeah, the one that takes forever to chew.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed. I'm a big fan of watermelon lemonade.
That's what I'm getting right now. This is very disappointing. The other ones were better. Like, I think they have a blueberry lemonade. Really
Ooh.
Good.
No, we're
really
not sponsored good by Old Time.
We're not sponsored by anybody.
Thank God.
You know, but if we were sponsored, I would definitely recommend you buy the Old Time Caribbean brand watermelon lemonade. Mm-hmm. Definitely doesn't taste like candle wax.
Nope, not at all.
So that was a choice.
The pirate was a nice touch.
I really
like the pirate on the bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get all the lemonades from like one gas station.
That's so fair.
I swear to God, every time I come and I buy like six drinks and they look at me like, what in the world is this woman
like,
doing?
What are you planning?
Like they just go, you're really thirsty, aren't you? And I go, it's for a thing. And that's where it ends every week.
It's for a thing.
So shout out to Chevron to just still letting me buy things without question, you know? I appreciate it. But KP, Jared, like, what have y'all been up to? Like, what are your majors currently? Where have you been? All the fun things.
So I just got back. And by just got back, I mean like a year ago. I got back from the Disney College program. It was a lot of fun. I worked at Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger Spin, and Tomorrowland. I still, like, we had a spiel that we had to say every time the ride went down that I still know back and forth. Do you guys want me to do it for you?
Of course.
All right. Attention, Space Rangers. Your cruisers have been temporarily deactivated. For your safety, please remain seated and your mission will resume momentarily. Star Command, over and out.
I just got teleported to Disney in that moment.
I felt like I was right there.
I was like, oh my God, what happened to my ride?
It was so fun, like, hearing my voice over the speakers. I'm like, am I famous now?
I hate the sound of my voice, so I would have hated every moment of that.
Oh, yeah. It depends. I kind of like my voice. I don't like seeing myself more so, if that makes sense.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, what's your major currently? Why are you back at UNA?
I am a cinematic arts and theater major. I'm concentrating in acting for the stage and screen. I've actually had a lot of different majors, but always a lot of different double majors, I guess, would be a better thing. Like, I tried digital marketing for a while. I tried PR for a while. But I just realized it was all kind of like stuff to use as like a backup. And I'm like, you know, screw that. Like, I don't need a backup. If this is what I want to do, this is what I need to give my focus to. So, cinematic arts and theater, acting for the stage and screen. I want to be a screenwriter that also acts. I want to basically be Lin-Manuel Miranda.
You want to be a triple threat.
Yeah, write my own stuff and then cast myself in it because screw you, I wrote this. I came to UNA pretty much, I feel like I didn't have that many options, just like with like money. Part of the reason I was interested in it is because my uncle told me there were lions here, and I thought that was really cool. So I was like, let's go to the lion school. It's cheap. They have theater. Perfect. Yeah, but I am happy here. I know I make a lot of jokes about it, but genuinely, I've met some of the most amazing people here, the cat department. I mean, I love, like, every single one of you guys. And shout out to my roommate, Kennedy, because she's my best friend in the world, and I wouldn't have met her if it wasn't for this.
Aww.
So, yeah.
Love. Jared, can you give a summary for people who haven't watched any of your past episodes?
Oh, man. I forgot how many episodes I've done.
I think three or four?
Three now, yeah.
Yeah.
So, for those of you guys who don't know me, I'm Jared. I'm the resident history theater double major in the acting program.
Sadly, no Hawaiian shirt today?
No Hawaiian shirt, but it is newspaper themed today for some reason. It was nice. It was like $7 at Walmart. So, hey, you know, fashionable and affordable. But yeah, no, I'm the resident history theater double major in acting. You know, for those of you who've seen me, I've done a lot of the movies over the past semester, two semesters. But yeah, you know, featured prominently in The Importance of Being Earnest, Defying Gravity, and in the new musical we're doing, 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Lots of fun.
Wow.
We love
Spelling Bee.
It's great.
We love spelling. Yes.
And you just had Spelling Bee people.
We did just have Spelling Bee people. We just had the directors because we had some co-directing happening, and we had Maggie and we had Gary. Both of them were on. And they were so phenomenal and fun to talk to. If you don't know Gary, they have a podcast. Go figure out what it is by listening to the episode.
All right.
But like, why are you here at UNA?
Oh, that's such a lovely question. Why am I here? Ever since I was, you know, a kiddo coming and doing theater festivals, you know, Trumbauer is hosted here, you know, every couple of years. And, you know, I think we're on the bid for another year or two.
I believe we are the next year, at least.
Oh, yay, fun times. You know, we ran Trumbauer.
So much fun.
That was a lot of fun volunteering. UNA always spoke to me as a really awesome theater school. You know, I sort of fell in love with the school in general. And, you know, working as I previously did at the Space and Rocket Center, they actually have a partnership with UNA within the science program, and that sort of got my foot in the door. Because I was studying history and things like that at that time. And eventually I, you know, came over and I was like, yeah, let me go back to doing theater. I've been acting, you know, for, God, 12, 13 years now. I tried out for schools overseas in the UK, things like that. And then started pursuing history and archaeology, and now I'm back into doing theater. So.
Okay. We have you both on today. For a very special reason, and the very special reason happens to be an improv club.
Yes.
One that has been in the works for forever, and I'm so happy the two of you came together to make this thing happen. How did it happen?
So, last semester, we had advanced acting with Professor Abigail Dillard, who probably, she's been on here before.
Abby's been on here plenty of times.
Plenty of times. She's a vet. But... So part of her, like, curriculum, I guess you could say, was we did a couple of weeks of improv. And I've always been interested in improv. I always was a huge fan of, like, Whose Line Is It Anyway? Impractical Jokers, I even would say, is kind of improv-y. There's that show, which is kind of newer, but that show Game Changers, stuff like that.
I love,
like,
Game Changers.
It's so funny. Stuff like that, I eat it up. And so when we actually did improv, I was like, you know, I love this. I didn't want that part of the semester to end. Like, I wanted to just keep doing it. So I talked to Abby. I was like, what would the process be of, like, starting an improv club? And I feel like from there, it just kind of fell together in a weird way. I recruited Jared because I felt like he and I were the only ones who, like, cared. that's basically it. Jared, what's your side of the story?
That's about the long and short of it. I mean, we were working pretty in depth in some pretty heavy projects in Abby's class. I think at the time we had moved on to working on script analysis and doing
dramaturgy
and things like that. And so we were working on a project, and then all of a sudden it was just sort of, hey, do you wanna maybe be a part of this improv troupe? And we're like, okay, you know, we had the first, you know, real interest meeting, and we got down to brass tacks about it, and it's a lot of fun, you know, getting able to, you know, get started, but it does take a lot of work, and so, you know, that's part of the reason it's taken so long to really get off the ground is, you know, we've been trying to work under Cat Guild to try and get that happening. We've been trying to get people to do it, and obviously, you know, there's a bunch of projects that are being worked on throughout the program. And so really being able to find those people that are, you know, dedicated artists to be able to make something that is from the ground up. I mean, obviously, when we were working on the folklore project, right, before we took that on tour, I think that was my first episode was Folklore on Tour.
It was.
But yeah, no. That
it was before the tour, actually.
It was just before it. Yeah. But yeah, no, like working on devising and creating these processes is a very intense thing, and you need a lot of people that really want to be invested in it. And so that's sort of the beauty of what we've done is we've been able to get a close-knit group of people together to be able to start working and developing these projects. And hopefully that's going to pay dividends in the future. I mean, ultimately, the goal is to create a piece of art, you know? It's something that's never been done in the way that we're going to be doing it. So, you know, we want to be able to make something that is uniquely us and something that can potentially be self-sustaining in the future.
We love that.
Yeah. To kind of add on to that, see, part of the reason I, like, initially, like, wanted Jared to be a part of this is because I don't know... I don't want to say optimist. I just don't. I'm not grounded in realism at all. I don't know, like, what the term for that is, but I'm like...
Optimist.
I guess. Yeah. Okay. I like to think optimists can be real, but okay. Yeah. I can't fight you on that. But I'm like, yeah, I'm going to start this and everyone's going to want to be in it. And we're going to have shows and everyone's going to come to our shows and everyone is going to nominate me to be the queen of improv for now and forevermore. But Jared's like, hey, here's the process that we need to go through, which is helpful because, again, that's not how my brain works. I think of, like, the bigger picture. I don't think of, like, the little things that need to be done to get to there.
Okay.
And that's sort of the beauty of it is being able to have that multifaceted look as, you know, we're all creative in our own specific ways, you know. But, you know, I've been out in that experience of doing, you know, projects, working at the Space and Rocket Center, working for a nonprofit. You know, being able to look and say, all right, we need to reinvest material here so that way we can make a successful sort of, you know, for lack of a better term, business out of it.
Yeah, no.
We want to be able to make something that is self-contained and not just sort of flash in the pan, one and done type thing.
Yeah.
To have something be successful, you need someone who looks at the glass half empty and half full. So yes, that's how you get a glass of water.
Yeah, the first time he mentioned money, I was like, what? You mean we have to have money?
We need money to run a
funding?
Thing.
What does that mean?
We have hope, dream, and imagination.
Yeah. I was just going to think really hard.
You know, everything comes with a little bit of, like, what's the word? Manifestation, you know?
Yes.
If you manifest hard enough, some things happen.
Yeah.
But not all of them.
No. I would agree. You definitely need, like, an optimist and a realist to, like, you know, work together.
My question is, like, what is your background with comedy and, like, improv? I know KP, you've done some stand-up in the past, very recently, at our talent show. So, like, what's your, like, background outside of, like, just this one class?
So, I have always been interested in comedy. I've always said primarily that's what I want to do is make people laugh. That's how, like, a lot of people are in theater for different reasons, but that's the primary reason I'm in theater. I want to make people laugh. I want to make people happy. That's why I want to do stand-up. You know, like, stand-up for me can be sort of an escape.
I'm so sorry. Okay. I keep doing this. We forgot to do our songs.
Oh. Yeah, that was the point of the Lemonade part.
I did this last week, too. We have to do our songs really fast.
Okay, I'll think more about comedy.
We'll think more about comedy, but we need to pull up our songs.
We'll do the songs first.
I've been listening to a lot of Young Gravy this week.
Okay.
I just recently told my dad who Young Gravy is, and actually he really likes it. So I don't know what that says about him or me, but hey, that's what I've been listening to this week.
Oh, God. Fun fact, one of the things that is going on throughout, you know, UNA, I don't know if, have y'all done a podcast on talking about Chain of Fools?
Yes, we did.
Awesome, cool. So yeah, you know, we're obviously in the process of doing that. I'm one of the smaller characters in it. But we're actually doing a film shoot tomorrow for Logan's section of Chain of Fools. And the thing for that is, it's all of the folks that have graduated and gone off and done their own things. It's all of my friends from the film program. We're all coming back together to work on it. So my song of the week has got to be The Boys Are Back in Town by Thin Lizzy. I've been thinking about that all week because Logan's like, all right, cool, we're getting props, we're getting costumes, we're getting this. Hey, what kind of coffee do you want on set? And it's like, oh, man, it feels just like we're back at home. We're all back together working again, and it's so awesome.
Love.
So is it just one song?
It can be as many songs as you want.
Because I have a few. So I've been on a nostalgia kick lately because of Spelling Bee. And I have a playlist of songs from like 2005 and before. And so lately, okay, so there was this game I played when I was a kid called Imagine Fashion Designer New York on my DS.
I had that exact same game.
Okay, the soundtrack for it bops. And so I've been listening to the soundtrack for that. So
I have a confession to make. I never listen to soundtracks of any video games. I always put them on silent and just play music off of Spotify.
That's actually very fair. I do that now, but back then I was like, yeah, because Suddenly I See by, her name's KT something, but Suddenly I See, Come Back to Me by Vanessa Hudgens, Wake Up by Hilary Duff. So those have kind of been what I've been listening to this week specifically, because it brings me back to the mindset of being like 8 years old.
Yeah.
And being in like 2005. And yeah, it makes me happy.
We love. Okay. Now we can get back to your history and improv. Sorry for the momentary break. Okay.
So yeah, I've always wanted to make people laugh. When I was in a competitive theater group, and when I was in that.
Hi.
Hello, Ethan.
Ethan's coming in during our episode.
Oh my gosh, a surprise guest.
He's grabbing a chair. He's leaving with the chair. He says hello to the camera if you're listening, Otto. And then he's leaving. Bye. Okay.
No one wants me to talk about comedy, apparently.
God. Editor, can we leave that in?
Please.
Hi, Grayson.
So when I was in theater, I would always play like the silly comedic roles. And that was like, that's what I felt like I was meant to do. I wasn't meant to play like, I think there are some leads I would like to play and I think I would be good at playing. But like, I wasn't meant to play like a lead like Belle, you know, or like Marion from The Music Man. I meant to be like, I was Sven when I was in Frozen. I was like the French Taunter and Tim the Enchanter and Spamalot. Like, those are the roles I was meant for. I was meant to be like a silly little person.
Comedic sidekick.
Yes, exactly. And even with Spelling Bee, like, Logan is right up my alley because she's a weird little girl who cares about politics and has a lisp. Like,
we love.
Yeah. So I've just always wanted to make people laugh.
Jared?
Yeah. No, like, absolutely. My experience when it comes to, you know, improv and developing theater is you know, been fairly similar to that. You know, a lot of the shows that I've done have been comedies. You know, obviously I've done some really serious, heavy stuff in the past. But, you know, some of my highlights, some of my favorite things that I got to do when I was in high school, we actually got to work with the Neo-Futurists, a theater troupe out of Chicago. I think they're from Chicago. But yeah, no, their whole thing is devising, you know, neo-futurist style theater, which is all developed in realism. It's all very much like, you're not going to pretend that you're lifting weights. If you're going to lift weights, you're going to lift weights on stage. And so that was one of the things we developed in Infinite Wrench, which is their style of show, whereby you sit and have, you know, 100 different prompts and you're supposed to get through them, you know, within an hour of trying to, you know, pull different ideas. And so that was one of the things that we had to do, was develop a lot of different ideas to be able to make that happen. So I feel like I'm really channeling into that. And one of my favorite things back in high school as well that I got to do was we had, you know, done some self-developed plays. And one of the plays that me and my best friend, Kai, had written was a thing called Ping Pong Wizard. I know, okay. That sounds really weird. But it was essentially a combination of a bunch of different shows and ideas that we thought were all funny. Everyone else had done really heavy, serious, like, I'm going to write something about, you know, jazz musicians in the 1930s and all that. And we said, what if we took Annie, Rocky, the Karate Kid, and, like, a bunch of other, like, you know, underdog stories and combined them? And so we made this massive play where it ended up being, you know, 15, 20 minutes long. Of, and for a short, you know, one act play.
Yeah.
Of, you know, the girl comes in and they get to play the first three bars of Hard Knock Life because that's all anyone could afford, you know, for the rights. And then we get through and they end up playing ping pong. And the whole joke was, we sat and postured and we're like, yeah, we're the best ping pong players in the world. None of the actors knew how to play ping pong. So it ended up being the dumbest joke, but it was one that we were all, you know, creatively invested in.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, you know, as much as we're trying to create the ideas, it's all about getting that interweaving, you know, thing and being able to develop those ideas in sort of a rapid freeform way.
Love. Yeah. Love. Okay. Yeah. Before we talk more about the improv club, we have to have a moment to be flat and be frank and be honest about something and get something off our chest. And this week's edition is improv edition. And I just have to be honest. I hate the term yes and. I really do. And I know it's like the number one golden rule of improv is yes and. One thing I saw recently that I really, really loved was no but. I love that. You know, you have to know when to cut something off and when it's just not working. And most people will just keep beating the dead horse even when no one else is laughing. You know, it's just something I just have to, sometimes you got to do no but.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that. I think there are some things that should be shut down. Like me as a woman, like if I walk into a scene and a man's like making like sexist statements and like expects me to like play along with that, I want to shut that down. You know, I don't want to like just be like, yes, and women, you know, can't drive, you know, like I would rather be like, no, but men suck. I mean, maybe not actually take a dig, like
find something like, actually funny.
Yeah, don't do like Uno reverse, but you know, something like something to deflect it. So I would actually agree with that. I think the concept is understandable, but I think execution can be very problematic sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tend to agree with that, too. You know, my big pet peeve when it comes to improv is not being able to relinquish control.
Mm.
You know, that's one of the things that we were able to experience in some of our, like, early work working within the class was we would get to a moment and it would clearly not be working. One of the things that, you know, that Abby taught us is that, you know, the second or the third person to enter the scene usually has control over it and they're able to then guide it, right? But you have to be able to, like, work with them and be willing to have that idea go. So if you have someone come in and, you know, you have two kids sitting in a room and then the third person enters and says, oh, the house is on fire. And they're all like, oh, cool, the house may be on fire, but we're still going to sit here and play with our little toys. It's like, okay, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
So, and while I do appreciate being able to, like, sit there and say, okay, I have an idea here, you can always come back and rework it.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. And you just have to be quick on your feet to be able to do that and be humble enough to say, okay, my idea is good,
but it's
not
for the moment.
And here's how we can make it happen so everyone is happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it also makes me think of, like, this one scene we did in class where, like, me and my roommate were, like, doing exercises, and I thought it would be funny if I, like, pretended to have a heart attack. And then so within the scene, like, she was, like, trying to call the firefighter, but she was, like, being really, like very slow about it, which was funny. And then, like, at one point I was on the floor and she left and I was just there on the floor and no one, like, came to, like, end the scene or anything. So I was, like, what am I supposed to do? This point. Yeah, but I think my hot take is audience participation isn't as funny as people think it is.
Oh my god, I'm so happy you said that.
Yeah, I think you just really I know people who don't want to go to improv shows purely because of audience participation. As someone who is, I don't know if I would say I'm an introvert, but I have anxiety. I have social anxiety. I don't want to be made fun of if I'm not, like, prepared for that. Like, if someone, like, if I'm in an improv scene, like, and I choose to be in that, like, I understand that I may get, like, some digs at myself. Or, like, even, like, in a conversation with friends. But, yeah. Like, it's, like, my worst fear to, like, be chosen to do something when I don't want to. And I think it is, like, I feel like, I don't want to say it's ableist, but I feel like people do need to, like, take other people's feelings into consideration with stuff like that. That's why I really like what we're doing in Spelling Bee, where we're not just, like, calling random people up.
They do have to sign up.
They sign up. So they're
if you don't know, Spelling Bee does have audience participation.
Yes.
But you have to sign up and be a willing participant. And we have to get your consent first before you're just dragged into it without it.
Yes. And I think that's better than a lot of people just want to, like, pick random people in the audience and, like, bring them up here. I don't think you should do that. Especially, like, I've seen it to where, like, the audience, like, participant does not want to is like saying no, and they're like, no, no, come on, and this is so funny. Like, that's probably, that's someone's worst fear, and that's not something I want to like cause for other people.
Yeah. And then you have moments where it's like, you know, you have people who are trying to mess up the show.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
What I was it in Ted 1 or Ted 2 where they went to the improv thing? The Seth MacFarlane movie.
Don't ask me. I don't remember.
I won't repeat the bit because it's
not very appropriate.
Inappropriate.
Oh, but I think I have seen that.
The whole
scene
thing
before,
is they
though.
Go to an improv, you know, show, and they say like really offensive things just to make the performers kind of like, what do we do?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And granted, the joke is hilarious of them going and doing that, because also it's Mark Wahlberg and he's great. You know, and
it's
Seth
also
MacFarlane.
Not real.
But yeah, exactly. It's not real. It's for a bit. But, you know, that's always like when I'm performing, that's like, oh, my worst nightmare is I'm going to get something where it's like I have to handle this with kid gloves because it's, you know, a sensitive topic, or it's, you know, obviously, you know, we can say no, but, mm-hmm. you know, but also there's like that fear of, okay, now everyone's going to turn their attention and energy to that. And yeah. now I got to recapture that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like. Also, because I recently just went to a comedy show and I want to like back up on that, because I hate when audience members try to make themselves in the show, which is so annoying, because yeah. like when you're paying for this person, you know who this person is, obviously. You know if they do crowd work or not. Don't try to make yourself the star of the show. We're not here for you. We're yeah. here for the person on stage.
No, that's very fair. And I'm just not a big fan of comedy where the point is to make people uncomfortable. You know, not to like dig on, you know, South Park, but I feel like that's kind of like what South Park is. It's a show made to make people uncomfortable. This is coming as someone who's watched like literally 2 episodes.
Because... I've watched the whole season. Don't do that to yourself.
But no, that's exactly
it. The whole point is to make you uncomfortable. And I think yeah. people get scared to say that, which you shouldn't be. It's your yeah. opinion. It's okay not to like the show because it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think that's fair. And I think there's a time and place to be uncomfortable. You know, like, I don't think, like, a white person should stay away from, like, shows about black people. You know, if be like, oh, that makes me uncomfortable to think about racism. But I also, you know, like I said, for comedy, I think it's a cheap shot to just be like, ha, we said this offensive thing. What are you going to do about it?
That's fair.
Yeah.
Comedy.
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 What's your hot take, Jared?
My hot take when it comes to comedy is just like most of what I've said so far, it's just like being able to relinquish control and being able to like, you know, make art without it being like this super deep intellectual thing. There is a time and place for that. But like, you know, it doesn't need to be that deep. Sometimes you just want to make people laugh. Sometimes you just need to get the quick one-liner in, and that makes everything all better. One of the activities we did in Abby's class, I forget what the actual prompt was, but it was essentially, you know, one of the characters was trying to get out of a date.
Yeah.
And oh, so, yeah.
You know, the whole thing was, oh, yeah, no, they died, you know.
Yeah. And then, that's my go-to, because that was me that said that. I don't know why. I just think people dying is funny when it's not people, like real people.
And obviously that's a controversial thing in and of itself.
Yeah.
Of like,
yeah.
You know, that tends to derail a lot of improv. But, you know, it ended up being this really funny joke where you had the first person come in, and then the second, you know, the person who was trying to get out of the date pokes their head around the door and says, oh, did you tell them that I'm dead? And
yeah.
Then they go in and they're like, oh, sorry, I can't. My dad just died. And then the dad walks in and says, hey, did you tell him that I'm dead?
Yeah.
You know, and it ended up being this, you know, 3-layer deep joke.
We love.
Of just silly one-liner shots.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes that's just what you need.
I remember I still talk about the, did you tell him I'm dead with the dad? Because I think that was
that
so
was me.
Funny. That was funny. That was you. And I thought that was really funny.
That was such a hilarious gag.
I think that was the point where I was like, if I'm going to do something with improv, I need to get Jared in, because that was funny.
We appreciate that. Okay. Well, now we're back on the comedy club. How is one to join said comedy club?
Just come to one of our meetings. We have them Fridays 2 to 3. Typically they're in Norton 201. Just because of Spelling Bee right now, usually they're working on the set. It's just kind of seems to be the best place. Plus Jared has keys.
You have keys.
So he does have keys. So, yeah, that's kind of the plan. We'll meet next Friday, 2 to 3. Well, I don't know when this is going to premiere, but whenever it does, we're not meeting the Friday of spring break, but every other Friday we're planning on meeting.
Love.
So come to our meetings. I have a GroupMe. I could give you the link to that, or you could like find the link
when,
to that.
I will find a way to do yeah. I don't know when this will come out, so I genuinely don't know.
That's
it's
fair.
Up to when Grayson edits it yeah. and
well,
put it out.
Grayson, find the GroupMe link. Link it wherever so people can join.
Do you have an Instagram or anything?
I did start an Instagram. I have not posted anything yet. I think I don't know what I'm waiting for. I think I just want something funny to happen. But I probably should be like recording within the, but whatever. Right now it's at UNA Cat Improv. Because we don't currently have a name.
Are we working on a name?
Or?
We're getting there.
We have ideas. Do you want to say our ideas?
I mean, yeah, I think that's part of the thing is we're still waiting on interest. You know,
we don't have enough people really, and I would like for it to be a group effort. As mm-hmm. much as I've realized throughout this, I can't be a dictator, and I really want to be. I really want to be like, this is mine. I founded it, but I've just realized I need to like step back and realize this isn't about me. You know, this is about like improv.
Yeah.
So like if it were up to me, I'd be like, this is what we're calling it. We're doing this, this, and this, but that's not, you shouldn't do that.
100%.
So if you want to have a say on what we do in the improv troupe,
join the improv troupe.
What kind of activities do you guys have planned to do and all the other fun things? Like what kind of things do you do at your meetings or and stuff like that?
Right now we're just playing games. I've been doing a lot of, people like writing stuff down. Because I think you can have really good actors, but I feel like if the prompt isn't there, it's just not going to be that funny. You can have two actors have like a bad prompt and like make it funny. But I just want people to like get their creative juices flowing. We have been playing just standard improv games. Last week I had everyone write down like a random line and we played, I don't know what the name of the game is. It's like...
It was some activity pose sort of game.
Okay.
Where like one person would like do an outlandish pose and the other person would turn around and they would have a line written down to say. And so they would turn around, they would say the line, and the other person in the pose has to make their pose make sense with that line. So they have to like add on to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stuff like that, just... us being silly little goobers. Yeah.
And beyond that, you know, we're just trying to get the creative juices flowing, essentially what KP said. You know, I know that first meeting we sort of played Jackbox and we tried to sort of get everyone together. And I think that should be a common occurrence.
I would love to play Jackbox with everyone.
We should do
again. Game
nights and things like that, just so that way we can sort of build that camaraderie as a team.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of icebreakers and community building right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Which is always a good thing. I always love a good game night. What are some like short term and long term oh my god, if I can speak today. Short term and long term goals that you guys have coming up?
So I think short term is just kind of meeting by meeting. Mm-hmm. Long term, I really do want to have a full length show. And by full length, I don't mean like a 2 hour show. I mean like maybe like 45 minutes to an hour, maybe even like a 30 minute show. I want to perform. I want people to see like the art that we're doing and like make people giggle.
Of course.
You know, we'd like to have a set that we can do. I know personally one of the things that I would like to do is being able to go out and do community events, like doing First Fridays. You know, that would be a lot of fun to be able to have the improv troupe go out and just do a set, you know. So that's really sort of that internal thing that we got to work on, is having enough material where we can sit there and confidently say, okay, we know how to spin these things so we can, you know, have that confidence. Because... yes, while we're doing improv, you know, a lot of it has to do with being able to create those ideas on the fly. And, you know, that takes a lot of practice.
Yeah.
So being able to, you know, work and develop these ideas and workshop them in-house makes it a lot easier for us to be able to go out and do that elsewhere. You know, hopefully we can turn this into a multiple, you know, multiple showing thing. We can keep this as, you know, as a recurring thing. Ultimately, you know, I think I speak for KP. We want this to be a continuing thing that goes on long past when we're here.
You know,
we want this to be a fundamental piece of the cat department. So that way we have more opportunities to be able to do stuff than just doing film or, you know, doing the main stage shows.
Yeah.
You know, we want to have more opportunities for everyone to be able to explore all the avenues of creating the art in the performing space.
What? Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, because this is, again, like me saying, as much as I want it to be like, oh, this is KP's improv club, it's, you know, it's really not about me. It's about the art itself. And it's about, like, getting people together to do something that I love so much, that so many people love so much. Yeah, just making art and making giggles.
Of course. Well, if you guys want to join the improv club, follow them on Instagram. Hopefully we'll be able to do something with the GroupMe link. I don't know yet. But before we go, we have to do a fizzle down feel good, which is just one good thing that happened to you this week. It can be as simple as you getting a good parking spot. It does not have to be a lot. Who wants to go first?
When I was in my car today, I listened to the radio. Because
who does that anymore?
Me. And Silly Love Songs by Paul McCartney was on, and I love that song, and it made me happy because, like, it just was timed perfectly. Like, when I got in the car, it was on, and it, like, it gave me a good start to, like, well, not like a start to my day because this was like an hour ago, but like a good start to, like, I don't know, like, in a good mood to, like, be around people and do stuff like this.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously I mentioned being able to do Chain of Fools tomorrow. I'm really stoked about that, being able to see Logan and Jacob and the rest of them. But I think the thing that really is taking the cake this week is the fact that on Sunday I get to go home and go hang out with my parents for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I get to go see Jesus Christ Superstar at the Von Braun Center. My favorite musical of all time, and I got it, like, third row ticket to go see it. So I am super stoked.
Okay. Love this. The thing I'm most excited for is, I can't officially say, but the guest that I have coming after y'all, I'm very excited. I can't say because I'm recording an episode and it gives it away, and I think this one will come out before that one. So I'm very excited for the guest that's coming because I haven't seen them in forever. So that's what I'm most excited about.
Yay.
Absolutely.
That's so fun.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Please come join these awesome people and do the improv.
Yes.
And I hopefully can come see an awesome improv show because I love an improv show.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So until then, I will see you in the next episode, and you will see them probably again very soon. Bye.